If you come for them, you'll have to go through us.
Just before daybreak, more than 100 people from the Bay Area faith communities gathered outside the Immigration, Courthouse, and ICE field office in San Francisco, with the stated goal of shutting down operations for the day, a goal they would ultimately achieve. The majority of protesters were faith leaders who wrapped themselves in chains to physically block the building's two main entrances. They wore religious stoles and held signs reading, quote, "Dignity and human rights for all, protect our neighbors, and disrupt injustice." Additional supporters filled the surrounding streets, effectively shutting down the entire block. The group sang hymns with rewritten lyrics protesting deportations and harsh detention conditions.
We're called to protect our neighbors.
This action follows the arrest of more than 120 immigrants at this very location between May and October of this year. Many taken into custody while complying with court hearings or routine ICE check-ins, challenging claims that enforcement only targets people outside the legal process. KPFA News was on scene before federal agents disbanded the blockade. We spoke with clergy members who were leading the effort, including Reverend Kevin Mann.
I'm a community minister with the First Unitarian Church of Oakland, and we're here with hundreds of faith leaders all across the Bay Area standing up to these fascist ICE raids that are abducting our families, our neighbors, without due process and sending them to concentration camps. And so as faith leaders, I'm a minister. My Unitarian Universalist values tell me to stand up for the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Since July, faith leaders have been here at this courtroom accompanying immigrants that have gone into their courtroom for legal, court dates, and then they don't come out. They're abducted, they're sent to God knows where, abducted from their families, ripped away. Hundreds of people have been ripped away from their families in this building. So that's why today, as faith leaders, we have shut down ICE's District 9 headquarters from Oregon to Bakersfield. This is their main office, so we've shut it down. Operations are not happening for this day. Folks that have privilege, that can be arrested, that can use their bodies to record those ICE raids, to blow those whistles, everybody in this country should be against this fascist government that is using ICE and immigration to justify a hostile takeover of democracy.
So I'm Reverend Allison Tanner. I'm a pastor of Lakeshore Avenue Baptist Church over in Oakland. I am here with dozens and dozens of faith leaders who have chained ourselves to the San Francisco Regional ICE Headquarter Building. We have done this because we have been in this space for over 6 months, and we have watched countless people come through these doors and not come out. And so we wanted to stop what's happening inside. We wanted to stop the kidnappings. We wanted to stop the deceit that's taking place. People come into this building because they have a court date or an interview or an appointment. They are trying to follow the law. They come in, and many of them do not come out. Some who've come in have been tricked and duped into being separated from their loved ones so that ICE can then kidnap them. And we, because of our commitment to love, compassion, and disrupting injustice, have come here to say, not today. You cannot continue kidnapping people.
When asked about the fear of possible arrest or a violent encounter with law enforcement, Reverend Allison Tanner said,
"The police have to do what they have to do. We, as people of faith, have to do what we have to do."
Reverend Tanner was ultimately arrested, along with more than 40 others, including this protester who spoke with us as police, assisted by the San Francisco Fire Department, cut through the clergy's chains.
Well, apparently the Homeland Security Police and the SFPD are here, and they seem to be pulling members of our cohort apart. We're all chained here to the doors. And we're just trying to make sure that this building is not in operation today so that no one is arrested and no one can be processed. We're trying to slow down the injustices that have been happening at this court. I see handcuffs, I see zip ties, I believe people were going to be arrested, and I heard one person was already dragged off on the other side of the building. My message to DHS is that we are here in love, and we hope that we can convince them that what we are doing is love. And we don't have any ill for them, but we hope that they could stop the injustices that are occurring. We hope that they can help support the changing of policy and the changing of what's been occurring. We shall not be moved. Together
we shall not be moved like a tree just planted by the water. We shall not be.
Despite their chant, protesters were ultimately removed, many handcuffed with zip ties and taken inside the federal courthouse, with DHS agents leading the operation. Notably, these arrests appeared less aggressive than earlier courthouse actions, which involved officers drawing weapons and protesters being dragged by vehicles. As of this broadcast, all of the protesters have been released and face charges related to blocking entrances and conduct on federal property, although a court date has not yet been announced. Despite the arrests, organizers are calling the action a success, saying no one was, quote, kidnapped, as operations were halted by the protest. That shutdown, however, left dozens of immigrants in limbo, waiting in long lines for scheduled hearings, only to be turned away with little information. Some had green card or citizenship hearings, which often take months to schedule. For more, we spoke with one of their advocates.
My name is Martin Steinman. I work for Central American Resource Center as an accredited representative, and I was here today to accompany a couple clients to their check-ins. With ICE.
There were people lined up for their immigration hearings. How did that play out with today's protests and subsequent arrests?
Well, they recently came out and made a formal announcement that the building is closed today and everyone should go home. There's not a very good process for informing people when this kind of thing happens about what they're supposed to do next. Some people have a phone app, and through that they may get messages rescheduling them. Other people who aren't on the phone app are going to have a hard time figuring out how to represent, other than just showing up tomorrow or the next day and saying that they try to come today.
I mean, we've been hearing from people that, you know, that the system is broken. How do you interpret that statement of people saying the system's broken? And can you give insight, since you are so close to this process?
Well, it depends what the purpose of the system is. If the purpose of the system is to arrest and deport as many people as possible, you could say it's working rather well. But if the purpose of the system is to provide due process and a just opportunity for people to vindicate their legal rights in the U.S., I don't think it's working so well.
Many immigrants find themselves trapped in a catch-22. Those who follow every legal requirement, the very people trying to comply with the system, are often the most vulnerable. Advocates allege that in order to meet arrest quotas, ICE targets people who show up to their scheduled hearings. That's what happened to Peter, whose last name we are not using out of fear of retaliation. Peter immigrated from Kenya, and when he and his wife arrived at a recent hearing with their 6-month-old child, he was taken into custody. His wife was left distraught by the outcome. And despite the potential disruption to immigration hearings, she participated in today's protest.
My name's Alexandra, and I'm out here because about a month ago in our green card interview, right after my petition to sponsor my husband had been approved, he was detained by ICE while I was changing our baby's diaper. I'm out here because I want people to know what's going on. I am from San Francisco, and I had heard about what had happened in San Diego and Fresno, and I thought, well, we kicked the National Guard out, we're a sanctuary city, we're fine, everything's fine. And it wasn't fine, and it's not fine for me and a lot of families right now.
Peter's wife, DeMartini, who is legally blind, says life without her husband, while caring for a 6-month-old child alone, has been extremely difficult. She said she was shocked by the outcome.
And they said, oh, your husband has been detained by ICE. And I thought they were joking, because everything was going fine. I do think the American people are being lied to, and, you know, my only hope is You know, I have a friend and her husband's a Trump supporter, and he said, oh, they were supposed to get criminals, not people like your husband. And I just hope that maybe more and more people who did support Trump will realize that this is not supporting families, this is not supporting security, and hopefully have a change of heart and stand up to it.
KPFA News reached out to the Department of Homeland Security for comment, as well as the San Francisco Fire Department, which assisted in today's enforcement action. As of this broadcast, neither agency has responded. While no additional official actions have been disclosed, faith leaders and activists say more actions are planned and are calling on others to get involved in their communities across the country.
We encourage communities across this nation to get fired up for your immigrant neighbors, to stand up against abductions. I mean, it's 2025 and we're in an America where you can be abducted off the street for looking like a person of color. Citizen or non-citizens are being abducted. And so it's been building up since July, but as faith leaders, we're here today to really stand up against ICE, to shut down their operations for this day, and to encourage other communities around this country to stand up against this. If we don't stand up, they're gonna keep coming after all of us. And so for me, it's been really important to be with my interfaith colleagues, you know, from across the Bay Area and standing up for what is right.
For KPFA News, I'm Lauren Schmidt.